Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a full-page ad from the giant tech companies in Monday's New York Times and Washington Post, calling on the President and Congress to rein in the NSA. Mark Rotenberg, the President and Executive Director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, joins us to discuss the call for tighter controls on government surveillance in an open letter from AOL, Apple, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Twitter, and Yahoo, and the international blowback from NSA spying that is hurting American business. Then we'll look into the growing backlash against the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership deal and the latest internal memo leaked by someone in one of the 12 governments involved in the secret negotiations. Laurie Wallach, the founder and director of Global Trade Watch at Public Citizen, joins us to discuss leaks on trade standards that would grant unprecedented powers to corporations, increase the cost of medications, and weaken banking regulations. We'll also look into whether an agreement on the TPP can be reached by the end of the year, as international support for it appears to be waning. Then finally, with Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel in Pakistan threatening to cut military assistance if local officials continue to block supply routes extracting heavy equipment from Afghanistan, we will speak with Michael Crapon, the co-founder of the Henry L. Stimson Center and director of its South Asia and Space Security Program. We'll discuss the role of the former cricket star turned party leader Imran Khan, who is threatening to unleash mass protests to block NATO supply routes in retaliation against U.S. drone strikes. And joining us now is Mark Rotenberg, who's the president and executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, in Washington, D.C. He teaches information privacy law at Georgetown University Law Center and frequently testifies before Congress on emergency privacy and civil liberties issues. He has served on several national and international advisory panels, including the expert panels on cryptography policy and computer security for the OECD, the legal experts on cyberspace law for UNESCO, and he chairs the ABA Committee on Privacy and Information Protection. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mark Rotenberg.
Nice speaking with you.
And Mark, what did you make of this full-page letter that appeared in both the New York Times and the Washington Post? It has a website attached to it. It comes from AOL, Apple, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Twitter, and Yahoo, issuing an open letter to both the President and the Congress, urging them to make reforms in NSA surveillance and generally increase transparency and independent oversight. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction. Clearly, there's a need to strengthen privacy laws in the United States. We've all been reading the almost weekly reports from Mr. Snowden about the true extent of surveillance by the National Security Agency. There have been hearings in Washington, and I think an important debate broadly about how we recapture some of the privacy that was lost in response to 9/11 when so many of these new surveillance systems were put in place. So as a general matter, I think the Internet companies are right to say we need to strengthen privacy laws. But, of course, you do need to look into the details now and ask the question, what exactly is it that the companies are backing and what is it that we really need? And my view is that there's still a long way to go to establish the kinds of privacy protections that should be established. The Internet companies, I think, have a pretty modest agenda, one that doesn't really address the core concerns that most Internet users have.
Well, there's reports so far indicate, though, that these Internet companies, and particularly the telco companies like AT&T and Verizon, get paid to cooperate with the NSA to basically get their metadata. But it seems like the NSA maybe went too far as far as these companies are concerned by tapping into their clouds. Is that what pushed them over the edge?
Well, I think particularly for the Internet firms, and most notably Google, Yahoo, and then Microsoft, the realization that the government was collecting data from them not only through the channels that had been established between the companies and the government, but also truly backdoor by going directly to servers and going directly to network communications, probably did lead the companies to conclude that they had a very serious problem. They needed to work together to establish stronger privacy safeguards. Now, I will say, again, from the user perspective, we have been urging these companies for many years to put in place better technologies for privacy, to routinely encrypt communications, to encrypt stored data, to minimize data collection where possible, to delete personal data where possible. And for the most part, they didn't show very much interest in all of that, not until they realized that it was their own servers and their own networks that were under attack. So they're a little late to the party, I would say. We welcome them, but there's a lot more that needs to happen to address these key concerns.
So isn't there blowback across both the economic and political landscape around the world? We certainly know about the political blowback from Snowden's revelations, I believe, only 1% of which have been made public so far. If that's 1%, God knows what the 99% is going to do. But my understanding is that there is a real blowback in terms of foreign companies wondering about doing business in the United States. The reason the Germans were so upset about the NSA revelations, they didn't care whether the NSA were finding out what Angela Merkel ordered on her sandwiches. They were really upset that they were tapping into trade negotiations, etc. So is this having a detrimental effect on American business or on foreign businesses doing business with America?
Well, I think that's the subtext, in fact, of the letter that the Internet firm sent to the president and to members of Congress. They were calling for new forms of transparency and accountability and some limitations on NSA access to customer data. But they were also communicating the very strong concern that a lot of business, particularly in the cloud-based computing model, which is essentially remote services, large businesses and universities that used to keep their data in-house are now being encouraged to move it to providers who keep it off-site and process the data that way. It's that cloud-based model that's so critical to the future of the Internet and the growth of many firms that's now come under close scrutiny by foreign businesses and foreign governments because they're saying, you know, if we put this data online with these U.S. firms, the NSA is going to get access to all that, and we have real concerns. So I think the letter was saying, given that pressure that the companies are now facing from potential customers overseas to do a better job on privacy, that it is very much an economic issue, and that's in part why they want to see the privacy law strengthened.
And again, I'm speaking with Mark Rotenberg, the president and executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, in Washington, D.C. He teaches information privacy law at Georgetown University Law Center and frequently testifies before Congress on emergency privacy and civil liberty issues. He has served on several national and international advisory panels, including the expert panels on cryptography policy and computer security for the OECD, the legal experts on cyberspace law for UNESCO, and he chairs the ABA Committee on Privacy and Information Protection. And beyond the concerns about the clouds, because I think people thought that the stuff was encrypted on the way in, but they didn't realize that the NSA were tapping into the clouds themselves, right?
Well, that's right. And as I said earlier, I think that's what got the Internet firms particularly upset, because they realized that the arrangements that they believe they had in place with the government to establish certain practices for transferring data just weren't being respected. In other words, the NSA had found ways to gain access to the communications between Google servers and were collecting user data in that way. But again, you know, many of the privacy organizations that have been pushing for many years to strengthen the protections for users had warned the companies that they weren't doing enough to safeguard privacy. And I think we're also perplexed that in many of the debates over updating privacy laws, both in the U.S. and in Europe, many of these same companies were oftentimes on the opposite side of the debate. They would say, we don't need new legislation. Self-regulation is doing fine. If people don't like what one business is doing, they can go to another business. So they spend quite a bit of time trying to reassure policymakers in Washington that there was no need to update legislation. Of course, now that they find that their own data is vulnerable to collection by the government, they've changed their position. So we're glad, of course, that they understand how very important it is to update these privacy laws, but I think it's also important to understand that ultimately it's the user's data that's at issue. It's not just the data that the companies manage. It's the personal information that's provided by the user.
But that's where there's a certain amount of ambiguity, isn't it? Because these companies like Facebook and Yahoo mine your personal information. That's how they make money. So this is a bit like the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
Well, it certainly creates a dilemma in the sense that on the one hand, they want protections from government access and use of the data they gather. On the other hand, they don't want any restrictions as to how they use the data that they've obtained from the users. And our view is that because it is ultimately the user's data, that we need privacy laws that both protect the companies against improper access by government, and we favor that. But we also need some limitations on the collection and use of the data that the companies are gathering, because users don't have a meaningful way to limit the use of that data once the companies acquire it. And not surprisingly, people are becoming increasingly frustrated, you know, about the loss of privacy. They're being told routinely that you really can't expect privacy anymore when you go on the Internet. But, of course, in many ways, that doesn't make any sense at all, because people have no understanding of what information is being collected or how it's being used. So for all these reasons, we think a comprehensive privacy law that incorporates some of the elements that the Internet companies have recommended, as well as some elements that others have proposed, is the best way to go.
But isn't there also an issue here of monetizing this information? In other words, Google and Facebook and these other high-tech companies that wrote this letter, which is in the New York Times and full-page New York Times and Washington Post, urging the President and the Congress to rein in the NSA, they essentially, their business model is to monetize private data on their users. And I'm wondering if there could be a user revolt at some point where users basically say, wait a minute, that's my information. I should be being paid. You should be making money out of me. I mean, you know, we have those cards that you have at supermarkets that give you a discount because they see you as a valuable customer. And likewise, airlines give you mileage, you know, travel mileage. So there's no question that the individual has value, but the individual doesn't get that value. The data mining company gets the value.
Right. Well, that's been, of course, a long-running debate about the Internet economy and what exactly it is, you know, that's generating the value. I don't think there's any dispute that the services are quite useful and people appreciate them, but at the same time, there seems to be almost an unbounded collection and use of sensitive personal information for commercial purposes. And when users have tried to organize in the past and make some of these points, and I will say that my organization, EPIC, has been involved in some of those campaigns, one of the remarkable and disheartening facts is that the companies often move quickly to dismantle the mechanisms by which users join together to raise legitimate objections. So, for example, several years ago when Facebook proposed to change its terms of service to allow a broader commercial use of user data, Facebook users created a group called Facebook Users against the new terms of service. And more than 150,000 Facebook users signed up. Well, not long after that campaign, Facebook took down the group and prevented groups in the future from using the name Facebook in any other groups that might be established on the online platform. These are subtle changes. They're not, you know, part of the prominent part of Internet history, but I think they need to be understood because they do speak to the increasing difficulty that users are having trying to exercise their rights in these new online environments.
So Mark Rotenberg, again, the president and executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, in Washington, D.C. Another part of the blowback that I understand that's happening is in terms of chips that the Chinese are now, who manufacture most of our chips, I believe, they're concerned that there is a sort of trapdoor, a backdoor in chips that go to the NSA. And then likewise, the U.S. would boycott Chinese manufactured chips because they would assume that there's a backdoor to their signals intelligence. And of course, as we know, China has tremendous and ubiquitous surveillance of its citizens.
Yes, well, this has always been a concern, I would say, you know, on all sides of the high-tech debate where countries are increasingly aware that new devices have tremendous capacity to capture sensitive information and to provide it to the intelligence agency of the host country where the device is manufactured. Over time, I think the view of technologists is that to the extent that more of the code is public and available for scrutiny, the less likely those kinds of problems are likely to arise. Certainly, whenever you're dealing with a proprietary technique, there is some risk that something has been inserted, perhaps on the instigation of an intelligence agency that users or people in other countries would not be aware of. Here again at EPIC, we've had a number of Freedom of Information Act lawsuits over the years where we've tried to make public some of those arrangements because we do believe that user trust is best established when people have the ability to actually examine and test the code of the devices on which they rely.
So my reading of this open letter in Monday's New York Times and Washington Post, and there's a website that goes along with it, and this is a letter from AOL, Apple, Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Twitter, and Yahoo to both the President and the Congress to rein in the NSA. There aren't really any specifics here, are they? It feels kind of like a wish list. Where's the expression?
Well, they have five specific proposals. I think they are somewhat vague, but they're still be understood in Washington as specific recommendations with regard to the transparency and the accountability of government access to the information that the companies maintain. And I think on those points, the privacy groups will probably agree that that makes some sense because it will make it more difficult for the government to get access to sensitive personal information. On a couple of the other points, I think there may be less agreement. For example, the internet companies are very concerned about regional clouds, which Europe is talking about, Asian countries, South American countries are talking about. They do see that as a potential loss of business. Our view is that it depends entirely on whether or not the jurisdiction where the service is being provided offers sufficient privacy protection. And if it doesn't, and another jurisdiction says privacy protection is important to us and we're going to enforce it, then we think regional clouds would be good. And as for their last point, I believe that they're recommending some unified approach to processing the requests they receive from multiple governments. That may or may not be good for user privacy. We've pushed for a comprehensive privacy framework, which begins by saying that if the government is going to collect information about users anywhere in the world, there should be a clear legal standard to protect the users, which is, again, a different emphasis. It's more about protecting the user interests than trying to accommodate the firms.
But what about the companies that actually make the technology for these new platforms like these clouds? Apparently, Amazon has taken the lead in this, and I believe now Google is trying to catch up. Is there any concern about at the manufacturing level?
Well, the cloud technology is really a storage technique, mm-hmm. and the primary concern does have to do with the access by the National Security Agency to the private information. It can be user data, it can be proprietary business information that's being stored by the cloud service provider. And to be fair, I mean, there are enormous economies in cloud-based services and some innovation that probably wouldn't be possible in the traditional localized model for providing computing. But as attractive as those features may be, there is still the consideration that if the information that's being stored by Amazon or by Cisco or by some other firm is routinely accessible to the U.S. National Security Agency, then many companies, particularly outside of the United States, are going to be less likely to use those services.
And that's the problem, isn't it? That's what's affecting U.S. business, is the notion that they're either in complicity or vulnerable to the NSA.
Well, that's exactly the problem. And unless the companies are able to establish more clearly that they do have strong privacy standards in place that are backed up by law, they will likely lose business. I mean, that process is already underway with many companies in the United States citing concerns about the NSA surveillance as leading to a reduction in market share. Again, our view is that if more had been done earlier to strengthen privacy laws, this would be less of a problem today. But it is a problem today in part because of the dramatic expansion of the surveillance capabilities of the NSA post 9/11. It's also a problem because there's been enormous reluctance in Washington to update U.S. privacy laws. So I think to some extent, not completely, of course, but I think the Internet firms could have done more sooner to show support for privacy protection.
But I guess in closing, I suppose better late than never, right?
Well, yes. And as I said, I mean, we welcome them to the party. It's a little late, right. But there's a lot still to do. And if we can take a broad approach to the protection of privacy, including both elements that they have set out in their letter, as well as many other goals that users would support, I think we will end up with better privacy safeguards.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Mark Rotenberg.
Nice speaking with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Mark Rotenberg, as the President and Executive Director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, in Washington, D.C. He teaches information privacy law at Georgetown University Law Center and frequently testifies before Congress on emergency privacy and civil liberty issues. He has served on several national and international advisory panels, including the expert panels on cryptography policy and computer security for the OECD and legal experts on cyberspace law for UNESCO, and he chairs the ABA Committee on Privacy and Information Protection. And we're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the leaks of the secret negotiations in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement.